This is the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. Acta non verba.
Next hour is us trying to make CJ laugh in any way, shape, or form we can, because his day was worse than mine, and it all happened in a second.
Crazy. I wouldn't say the whole day turned around, but it's like it took about 5 seconds to be so pissed that I have no words.
No words. You're doing good. Yeah. My shitty day started at like 6 a.m.
At Monday? On Monday?
Oh yeah, Monday. Might as well pick Monday. Oh man. And it just went down. You know, there's something about having like your day turn to shit. But when it starts off just sucking and you know it's going to be a bad day, it's like going for a run in the rain. You know, if you're out running or walking and you get rained on, okay, you go for your walk and you finish it up. No harm, no foul. But no one really wants to start the run while it's pouring down rain. I know there's guys that do, but I'm saying you don't really want to start. But yeah, that's how my morning started. I looked, was like, ooh, this is not going to be a good day. And it wasn't. And idiots were out in full force.
We're talking about today. I'm sorry. I was checked out.
That's fine. We can tell. It's all good.
Are you talking about the rain today or Monday?
I'm not even talking about the rain.
See, that's just
that's where we're at. That's why we're going to make CJ laugh, not talk anything too serious, because his brain's fried.
Yeah. Well, for the viewers at home, I got texted something about 30 seconds before I came on, and
So CJ is suffering from deceleration trauma. He went from 60 to zero. In next to no time flat. So It's good times.
Oh, it was a great fucking day till I got that one text.
Yeah. And so we're going to cheer you up. We'll break you out. Yeah.
Just sit back, relax, breathe through it. And are we continuing on the.
Yep. We are. Yeah. The hell is it? 100 skills every man should know.
And I don't know.
Do you got anything else, Jimmy, before any life-changing things you want to say or crazy idiotical? What you drinking tonight?
Water. I was gonna make a whiskey sour, but maybe I'll do that after the podcast.
So he's coming in sober tonight.
Yeah, so this might be a shitty, terrible podcast as a result. Speaking
of drinks, you're sober. Though, I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Nathan, how are you?
I'm frustrated. Hey, my day turned as soon as you two logged on, my day got better. So mine's the 180 degree difference from CJ's. CJ's went to shit. Mine got better.
You know, if that wouldn't have happened, great. You'd be good. Great day all overall.
Yeah. How often do you ignore text just because you have a feeling it could be something stupid so you don't look at it? Or do you always look? What?
While I'm at work.
While you're at work? Yeah.
Because it's
now I need to start texting you.
Well, I see we have like this group thread on at work, and that I just, if I see it in there, I'm like, doesn't matter.
If I don't see it, it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because what happens to me a lot of times is I'll read text during the day, but I don't really have a good chance to respond. And by the time I get home, I have forgotten about it. Whereas if I read it at night, when I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll respond real quick. But yeah, I'm horrible at returning text anyway.
Half the time I'm good, half the time. I'm the kind of guy that like notices I have a text. I can see what it says, without opening it, and then I just put my phone away, and then I forget that I even got a text.
Yes. Yes. I you like can read the first line of it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll do that too, where I'll see what it is, and if it's super important, okay. But otherwise, I'll get to you later.
Yeah. It's like, I'm dying. Oh, maybe I should look at this.
New phone. Who's this?
Yeah. Oh, hell. There's another one that I keep forgetting to ask you, Jimmy. What do you think of 5-gallon bucket drummers? Because there's a couple of guys that hustle in the same section all the time. They're at least hustling instead of just with their hand out. And they'll sit there and bang away on their... One of them's not half bad. The other one, I think he needs some practice or something.
Yeah, it's certainly... With some of the stuff that they can do is with just a bucket, let alone once they start adding a second one or, you know, a couple kinds of things, it's can be super impressive. There's a guy I know, he actually started a group called, I don't know if he started it, but he was present, at least present at the foundation, and it's called the Omaha Street Percussion. And they now even do like corporate gigs, just entertainment and stuff like that. But and sometimes they do actual percussion, like they are drummers, percussionists, right, kinds of things. So they do actual you know, drums on for a number of different things, but more often than not they're just playing on garbage cans or stools, like stools. Bar stools, wooden bar stools,
okay,
with drumsticks, or they're doing buckets, like 5-gallon buckets, and maybe there's somebody.
There's a lot of neat sounds with the 5-gallon bucket. I was surprised.
And then there's, you know, one dude maybe banging on a big, like garbage can, like a not a, like a rubber garbage can. Mm-hmm. So it's more like the kick drum of a drum set or a bass drum.
Okay.
Because it has that deeper thud sort of thing. But yeah, you could do, or sometimes there'll be, you know, they'll have trash cans, trash
cans. You could go buy a $5 or 5-gallon bucket.
Yep.
And just start playing away compared to going to, you know,
on a corner and
you want to tell the kids out there, it's like, if your kid wants to pick up drums, get a couple 5-gallon buckets and let them bang away on them instead of buying a $750 set off of
absolutely
eBay or Amazon or something. It's like, get them a bucket. They're willing to play a bucket, they'll actually play a drum.
And really, it's coming up with beats. And so sometimes it's creative stuff, like you mimic stuff that you hear on the radio or your favorite CD, right? It's just fucking around. Related but unrelated, there's a dude, he's definitely a percussionist. I don't know what his story is, but there's a YouTube channel, I'll have to find it, where he does stuff, whether it's video games or music, you know, rock tunes to Disney shit to it runs the gamut, but he'll do it on percussion, various percussion instruments. So, you know, marimba, vibraphone, steel pan, like all these things, even hammered dulcimer. And there's even some shit I didn't even know existed. One's like plastic. I forget what it's called, but it's basically like plastic bottles. But I think it's filled with, each bottle is filled with air or something. There's something where they're tuned to a pitch. So it's like a vibraphone or a xylophone or something like mallet percussion, but they're like plastic Coke bottles or plastic Mountain Dew bottles. And I forget what that's called. There's one that's made out of glass. It's like, but it's, I'll have to find it. Maybe, you know, throw it out there. Sure. 'Cause he'll announce what the instrument is and then he'll play the thing. And it's, it's short. Like the videos are short, like maybe a minute and a half, two minutes. But it's like, wow, that's pretty impressive. So, but yeah, you can do some pretty crazy shit and make some money. Like, you know, it's entertaining. It's just,
well, see, those guys are at least hustling instead of standing there with their sign.
Yeah, their handout. Yeah.
You know, there used to be in Chicago, every street corner, you'd have to wave away the guys that wanted to wash your windows.
Yeah.
I'd almost wish they'd go back to it. I'd probably even pay some of them to wash my truck windows for as many bugs as hit it. I'd be like, hop up here and scrub this. Yeah, while I'm at the light, I'll give you a couple.
Rather than those people that have a sign that say anything can help.
Yeah. Well, come on.
Damn straight it could.
Yeah, good. Give me a dollar. It'll help me out.
I will say
people could do a little bit better on the signs as well.
That yeah, yeah. There was went to brunch a couple weeks. Yeah, I think it's 2 weeks ago now. And we're at a place and there's somebody like it's two people. I don't know if there was a couple or whatever, but it's two people. And one of them has a sign that I swear is like a novel. Like, I mean, from my distance, yeah, my distance away. And it wasn't that far, but it's like, you know, maybe 8, 10, 12 feet more, 20, let's say 20 feet. And I couldn't make out the sign. There's so many words on it. But they're playing, like, there's music. And at first I thought, oh, they're playing music through some speaker off their phone. No, it's one of them is playing an electric violin. Like, if you got one of those,
well, are they actually busking or were they panhandling?
That I'm not sure.
See, if they were busking, okay, I'll go with that. That
seemed more panhandler though.
Panhandler, like, though, yeah.
We're trapped here. Give us some money. So we can get back home,
kind of home thing. But you're playing an electric violin.
Yeah, it's like you could pawn that, and then you got a shit ton of money.
Yeah,
and that little amp that you're hooked up into. Yeah, that's easily got to be a bus ticket somewhere.
Like something. I think one of my favorite things of why I won't help homeless type quote unquote or whatever. Is the meat place that I used to go to, the butcher. I was in there one day and there was this couple in front of us. They rang it up and it was like $350, $375, somewhere in there of meat, steaks, everything else. They're both walking out. And as I'm walking in, the dude hands his bags off to the gal. And I knew the owner in there, and I walk in, and the owner's just laughing. She's pointing at me and goes, "Watch this." And we go over to the side where the windows is. He handed them to her because he noticed that a bunch of people were coming out of the bar. So he pulled his pants down, kind of looked all shitty or whatever. His girl's walking over to the car with all that meat, and he's over there asking them if they could get a handout because he's starving. And we're standing there and we're like, and they're like, all the time hits the bars up in the, they're all drunk. You know, he'll go over there, start slurring his words, the whole nine yards, just trying to, I'm like, and you ruin it for everybody that might actually
need it.
I don't know. I see so many homeless out there with those signs, but I was thinking about the drummers today and I wanted to ask you about that, but it's like no one hustles. Nowadays, they'll just sit there with their sign.
Yep.
I do something. Give out flowers or something, you know, do something. Just
actually hustle. Earn it.
Yeah.
You know? You existing does not equal earning.
Right. Yeah.
Well, money is a human right, though.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. My bad.
Yeah. And my human right part is to keep it and make fun of you guys.
Well, yeah, keep it in my own fucking pocket. Thank you very much.
I was in Indy. This guy was in Indy. He had nice pair of shoes, you know, a decent pair of shoes. The like Docker type shorts. A Henley in a decent jacket going over, sitting on a bucket with a sign. The goatee that was nicely groomed, clean haircut. I get that he could have gone to Goodwill or the homeless place and they could have given him all that stuff and gotten him a haircut and da 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 da. But if I had seen him anywhere else, there's no part of him that I would consider homeless. He was like the most clean cut, homeless looking person. No, I think he just wanted to walk out there and see if people would give him money.
Yeah.
You took a day off work. Well,
shit, at this point, what do you got to fucking lose? What do
you
got
to lose? You know, yeah. Some of the guys, it's like another one. This was in Chicago. He's sitting there begging for money. Well, in the thousands of people that drive by him, they're not going to see. But the one moment, he pulls out a freaking iPhone.
Yeah.
The chance of him having one of those Obama phones. No, it looked a bit newer than that, but it's on an iPhone. Go back to like the electric violin. Go pawn the iPhone off.
Yeah. Yeah. You could make some money off of that. Well, I remember when I was like 15, 14, and was over in the Philippines in Manila. And, you know, traffic is like ridiculous. Oh, everywhere, all the time. Like you're talking in the green room, there's people, not only are there vehicles on the road, but then there's people just walking, you know, wherever they want, kind of thing. And you're just like, well, wait a minute, this is a road. Like there's, but especially at stoplights, and they would have, there'd be like these little kids, 7, 6, 7, 8 years old, with these little wood, I don't know, trays, for lack of a better, but they had, like, they were selling shit, like gum by the stick.
Okay. But they're hustling. Chiclets. They're
at least hustling. No. And they had like a little thing, like it was like this little slider, like a door over one of the compartments for maybe to keep the cash so it doesn't fly away or whatever.
Right.
But they would move those back and forth so you hear them click, clack noise kind of thing, and they'd hop on the jeepney or hop on the bus and try and at a stop when they're stopped to try and get you to buy, you know, whatever. It's like, yeah. And to your point, I'd almost, if that's what they had, if they were doing nowadays, I'd be more willing to go, yeah, sure, I'll take a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Yeah. I wasn't. I'll
take a chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah.
You got any Casey's pizza? I'll take two slices.
Go buy a Casey's for a couple bucks and resell it for $5. Yeah. I would go with that. There's times that if they were doing that, they told me.
Well, yeah, I'll buy a slice. One year in drum corps, we got to some school. It may have been somewhere in Illinois. I don't know. Indiana, even. I don't know where it was. But it was a stocked pop machine for 25 cents.
Wow.
Still 25 cents. Like legit. No way this works. Plop. Oh. So me and a couple of the other guys like rounded up as many quarters as we could get. And we're just mashing that fucker to get them all out. And then we were selling them for like 50, 75 cents a buck, whatever. I forget what we did, but like I don't think we emptied it out, but we came close.
Close. That's awesome.
And then we were reselling them. It's like, holy shit. There's no way you're going to find a can of pop for miles for 25 cents.
Not anymore.
The good old days.
There used to be one of those in my hometown. It was like the most random vending machine. It was like, it had to be like from the 80s. So I was growing up in the late 90s. And they sold them for a quarter too.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. There
you go.
Yeah. Nice those days. Now most it's of like the times, $2.50 for a fucking 16 ounce. It's like, Jesus.
Yeah. Usually when you come across that, it's like some off-brand like Fandango or some
RC Cola.
RC Cola. Or
yeah, some, it was Pepsi.
You say Fandango?
What is it?
Fanta?
Fanta, there.
Fandango's where you get movie tickets.
That's right. I knew it was fan something.
I knew where it was
going. I knew where you were going.
Fanta.
But this one was...
See, look, I got you laughing, though. Good deal.
I'm good.
It's a win-win.
Yeah, this one was legit Pepsi. I think Pepsi, 7-Up, and maybe something else.
You don't care if it's expired at that point. It's 25 cents.
You ain't drinking it.
Yeah. No, it's you turning around it's and selling that fucker. Yeah,
yeah. What's funny is you probably sold it back to some of the kids you got the quarters from in the first place.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. There's that's at least awesome. A couple that it's like, hey, do you got any quarters? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here, want a Pepsi for 50 cents? Okay. We'll you don't realize it cost you 75.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you were giving it to him 25 cents off.
Yeah. Well, only for you would I make this deal.
Yeah.
You're a percussionist? Okay, 50 cents. You're brass in the horn line? $75, $1. Yeah.
If you're
some twirler, cute chick that I like, here you go.
There you go.
It's on the house.
If you're a twirler, one of those baton twirlers, $1.75.
Yeah.
Oh, hell.
Good times.
All right, here we go. We'll start with number 26.
Yes.
100 skills. I disagree with this one. Take the perfect photo. Even with phones and everything, I'm horrible at taking pictures.
Basic photography is, I suppose, where they're going with that.
Everybody's got to be a photographer now.
Yeah.
Practically.
Especially now with the quality of cameras on your phones. Like even phones from 10 years ago was still pretty fantastic.
But you know, people still take a whole bunch of crap pictures.
That's fair. I mean, they're moving or they're drunk or drunk, they're
or they're
it's the lighting conditions.
Yeah, there's still a lot of crap. You should at least have an idea. And I've never had an eye for photography. I can see good photos. Don't get me wrong. I don't have an eye for going.
Taking them.
Taking them. Yes.
What a weird thing to put in this list, though.
I don't disagree with it, though. You should be able to take a photo.
It's not that hard to take a photo.
Yeah, but perfect photo is like a decent. Yeah. To get
composition. There's such lighting. Thing as composition, lighting. Yeah.
Making exposure. Sure you're in the right spot to everything around you and da da.
Yeah. Phones take a lot of that out, especially even more so today than in the last couple of years where there's a lot of computational photography where it takes a shot, but really there's a lot baked into pressing the shutter button that the phone does for you. But I don't know. There is something to be said for even having a camera. Like I wouldn't spend the dough on a
real camera,
legit camera.
Ridiculously expensive.
Unless, I mean, maybe later in life as a hobby, you know, or something when I got money to blow. But at this point, phones are more than adequate. But there is something I think to some of that stuff. Now, whether do you really need to know it?
It's probably a skill that wouldn't be bad to have.
Yeah, but it's maybe
but
not.
It's like I've an read S-tier books
level, like must have skill.
It's like a third tier one or something, third or fourth. Because see, I've read books on photography. I've actually taken a class, and I still suck at it.
Yeah,
it's like I can recognize a good photo, or I can recognize, hey. This would if a guy knew how to work the camera right, he could get a good shot.
Yeah.
But for me to take it, I don't think I have patience for it. You know, it's one of those
good ideas that, but they But after I take the picture, it's like, oh, that looked better in my head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, the next one I think is a must. Sharpen a knife. Because I would say about 99% of people
knife, do not axe. Sharpen.
Yeah, but they don't know how to sharpen it correctly. They may know how to quote use the stone or try to sharpen it, but they really don't know how to sharpen a knife.
Or like a cooking knife.
Yep.
Yeah, paring knives. I mean, those are the knives that you need to have super sharp.
Sharp.
Mm-hmm. Nothing worse than trying to cut a tomato or a pepper or something with a just like sharp but just dull enough knife, because you end up mashing the fucking thing.
You know, I was
like, amazed. Fuck, I should have sharpened it.
Talking about paring knives and stuff, I bought a ceramic knife. I wanted to see if they were actually like legit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm to the point now where I should replace it, but I've had it for like 5 or 6 years.
No problems.
There's a couple of nicks or whatever in it or something, but yeah, it's probably one of the sharpest knives. And it's actually, I think, the second one, because they are brittle and they'll break if you drop them. Yeah. But
ceramic.
It is. But I was actually impressed because they say like they never have to sharpen, da 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 da. And it was.
And you're calling bullshit. So yep. You thought, what the fuck? I'll get one.
And it was cheap. You know, it was like it was like 80% off or something. So it was like $5 or something. I'm like, always wanted to try. I still have it, but it's starting to get to point. Like if you're cutting an apple or something, you kind of have to dig into it for it. Just, yeah.
Yeah, I know how to sharpen a knife at least well enough, and then
yeah. Learn how to use a sharpening.
But yeah, that's definitely one to. Yeah.
The next one I totally disagree with. It says change a diaper. No, I don't do that.
Done it.
Got no idea.
I've done.
Are you going to learn though, CJ? Or are you just going to say no?
Depends.
You're gonna wear depends.
sometimes it probably needed them.
I thought I'm the old one.
If I don't throw up the first time, I will be 100% surprised.
I don't know. I will say, smells. Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Now, if one of my daughters threw up in the early days, or worse, threw up on me, which that actually happened with my oldest a ton, those first few, I'm like doing everything I can to not puke as well, just because you're just like, ugh. But after the first, I don't know, say dozen times, I've been shit or thrown up on, you're just like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever, it's just Tuesday. Yeah, just it's just Tuesday, let's hop in the shower. We gotta rinse off. Yeah, because as a first responder, most of the time I'm just covered, like but changing a diaper, I'd highly encourage if you can get through it to do that, because it's.
And I'm on the other end.
Is it a necessary skill to have?
Nope. I made it all the way through.
But mom, the moms out there would appreciate a little help now and then.
I won't disagree with you, but I'm still on the let them do it. No.
Yeah. Fair.
Yeah. We'll see where CJ falls in the next few years. What happens? He can be the tiebreaker.
There's been so many times. Fuck. You still there?
Yeah.
I said my internet was unstable. There's been many times in the past years that any kind of shit, I'm just over there.
Well, you know, I used to hear the thing. It's like, yeah, when it's somebody else's, but when it's your own, it's not. It's different. And I'm like,
yeah.
No. Depends. Hey, all dog shit smells like dog shit. and I'll have to clean up my dog because it's my dog.
It's my dog. Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, it still stinks just like it does. No, well, no. Yeah,
it doesn't mean because
I'll say yours, not all dog like shit smell the same.
That's no, no. A lie. But dog shit's dog shit. You know, it's.
It usually does have like a certain aroma no matter what, because all the dog food they eat is about the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But baby food, I don't know. Even thinking about it makes me want to throw up.
Yeah. Well, and it's now, you know, lots of times it's especially in those early days when they're just drinking milk or all those soft or super soft mush foods, like their poop is. Exactly. It comes out just slightly different than the way it went in.
Like it went in white and comes out brown.
Yeah. Or yellow or whatever. Or whatever. I mean, but the point there is like it shoots. There's been times where it's like had to change one of my daughters and it's like shot all the way up their back. And I'm like, how the fuck did this happen? Like, and it looks like mustard. Like, what did you eat? Like, and how is it that there's this much coming out of this little body? Like, I swear there's a multiplier somewhere inside this baby, because the 8 ounces that went in, there's like, you know, 16 or 32 ounces coming out. Like, how does that work? Whatever. Yeah. Good times. This is what you have to look forward to, CJ.
I know there will be at least one time I will throw up. Just,
yeah. It's a given.
Yep. Yeah.
Right after you get Casey's pizza and a beer.
Oh. That just sounds painful.
That's why I'm saying it'll be a night you have Casey's pizza.
Good times. Good times.
Nice pepperonis all coming right back up.
Oh my God.
You'll have to start drinking whiskey to wash the taste out of your mouth. Everybody come over. Are you a whiskey drinker? No, that's just clean the taste out of my mouth.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear the first story where your kid pukes on you, or change your kid.
I've seen you puke so many times, and it's not bad. It's shit.
I know.
You know, there's people that like see other people puke, and they're like, "All right," and then they throw up. To me, it's not like that. I just hate the sound.
Yeah, and the smell, but
no, the smell doesn't bother me as much as shit. Nope.
That's fair. Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to the stories in the future.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Again, I don't think this is a top tier skill to have, but
right.
Yeah.
So, okay, our next one: give a speech. Yeah, that should be. You should be able to get up in a run of a group and give a speech.
Yeah, at least say a few words. Like, I mean,
well.
Confident speaking to,
yeah, others. Confident speaking. I'm thinking more than that. I'm not thinking when I say give a speech, I'm not thinking like a wedding type speech. I'm thinking of getting it up in front of a group and talking to them.
Oh,
yeah,
that's different. That's like a presentation.
Yeah, speech. And I want to clarify that I'm thinking in terms of a presentation type speech. And that's what the little paragraph is on this. It's like, you know, a student council president or a presentation at work, not the the best man type speech.
Absolutely. I think there is something to getting, like, even sitting here and doing this podcast, right? It takes some, like we talked about it a few podcasts back with, you know, how much do we stammer? It's like oohs and ums and all those. Yeah. All
that or just stuff. Stuttering.
Yeah. Right. There is something to be said for being able to speak to some group of people about something, or whether it's a work setting or just a group of friends that you're trying to, hey, we need to do this and blah, 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 blah. Whatever the thing is, there's something to be said for being confident speaking in front of others.
The next one, this is one of those, if you're a homebody, you don't need it. But if you're a homebody, you need to get out of your ass and get outside. And in this case, this is a top tier skill. Navigate with map and compass. Yeah.
It's a map. What's a compass?
I know. There's the problem.
You're talking about GPS?
You mean compass like the pencil? The thing that you put the pencil in with the metal point on the other end?
You know. Oh,
yeah. You make the circles with it.
Exactly. But it's amazing how many times, and I drive with the GPS, of how many times it's wrong, quits working, whatever. I've been out hiking and with a group, and they start getting lost, and I'm looking at them laughing, and I'm like, which way's north? Well, our compass isn't working. What do you mean? And they had their phones out with the compass on their phone, but they weren't getting signal, so their compass didn't work. I'm like, huh. Mine works just fine. You know, because I have an actual compass. But compass and map skills. And how many people don't know how to read a map is just mind-boggling to me anymore.
It's one thing to have a globe or a map of the world or the map of the U.S. and be able to point to continents. And even if it's a map of the U.S. and has individual states, that's one thing. It's another thing to have a map of this, you know, like when we were kids driving, and I'm sure you had this too, CJ, where you're driving around and you had to have an atlas or at least some map of something in the car or with you, or even if it's you printed out something from MapQuest or whatever, but it's not on the fly, whatever, you're navigating. Oh, we just missed our exit.
I started back when I was like, I don't know, I was little, four-ish. We'll say 4 or 5, whenever you can start. Grandpa used to have me navigate the map. He used to hand the thing to me upside down and tell me to figure out which way's north. You know, let's go down this road because it's scenic or whatever. And he'd be like, okay. You know, we'd go on vacation and take us an extra hour to get someplace because he'd let me navigate between. It's like we're going from Lansing, Michigan to Grand Rapids. You pick the roads to get there. You know, and it wasn't always highway. It was back roads or whatever. But and nobody does that. It's like, oh, we'll pull up Google Maps. Well, what if it doesn't work?
Yeah, you don't have cell service.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Been there. Exactly. We took an atlas on our last trip just in case, which we didn't use, but just having it was a good idea because there was many fucking times we had absolutely no service.
At least you had it in case you needed it, you know, and a good atlas will give you a large overview and then a lot of times taller, you know. If nothing else, landmarks. If you're trying to get into maps with elevations and da-da-da-da-da, then you want to take an actual map course. I won't bang it into people's heads to know all that stuff. You know, lines only an inch apart compared to just a 16th of an inch. You're not going to know the difference between a hill or a cliff or what.
We're talking about topography and all that shit.
Yeah. You know, most people don't dig into it that far, but just learn how to use normal maps. But if you're out hiking in the Adirondacks or out in the Rockies or something, you might need a topographical map and then take a course on how to use the thing because those lines matter.
Yeah. That's for sure.
It's like, oh, we're going to walk up here. Really? You're going to go up a sheer cliff into a canyon? Cool.
Sounds trail? Exciting.
Okay, Bear Grylls.
So,
I grew up with just knowing where you're at, more or less. having an idea. That's why, like, whenever I move to new places, I'll just kind of drive around and see everything that's around. So if I end up somewhere that I don't really know, I always know how to get to certain points and then get back home.
Yeah, landmark it.
That's, I mean, I think that's a kind of a small town thing, because if I explain, whenever I lived in my hometown, I didn't know the street names. I just always knew where I was. Right. So I could, yeah, I would tell people by landmarks.
Well, yeah. It usually takes me 3 times going someplace and it's locked in. Mm-hmm. Like if I go there once, I'll have an idea. If I go there twice, I could probably get there again. I go someplace a third time, it's locked in. I might not go back for years, months or years or whatever, but it's like, if I've been there 3 times, I can find my way. I might fiddle faddle around a little bit if it's been a while, but it's like I went to a drop the other day that I know I hadn't been to in like 9 months and drove right there. Why? Well, about a year ago, I went there every other week for a month, you know, so it's like ingrained. It's like, but yeah, I'm a landmarker. Now, a friend of mine who was driving school bus at the time, one of their landmarks was cows. You know what the problem with having a cow as a landmark?
They move.
They move pastures. When they moved the cows, she couldn't find space.
I just go to where the cows are and turn left.
Oh, exactly. Shit. That's exactly now what.
The cows aren't there.
And kept going, I believe.
In fact, we haven't heard from her since.
I'm glad I remembered that. That's yes. So don't use livestock.
As a landmark, moving items is
make sure it's semi-stationary. Yeah. All right, now next one's an important one: and clog a toilet.
God, that happens so often.
It does. And what is it about kids that clog them up even worse?
Back to you, adults. I do it all the time.
No, but here's the thing: the reason I say that is like just like with Jimmy G. You're only this big. How can you shit that much? Were you backed up for 3 weeks? Have you not been? It's.
You. Do we need to work more fiber in the diet? What's going on?
Yeah.
Their bodies should be more efficient.
Yeah. I swear it's like
6 pounds.
You're pooping. Yeah. And it's the size of a pop can. Yeah. It's like, how'd that come out of your body? What?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. A full grown man, I understand. A little kid,
it's like you're shitting the eighth wonder of the world.
You know, it's like it has to be backed up so far into your intestines. You're like you have stomach pains or something. You have to.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of it with kids too, though, or how much of it with kids is that they're using too much toilet paper. Like they're using half a roll of toilet paper and trying to shove it down the toilet. Isn't there a cartoon, a Calvin and Hobbes cartoon where like Calvin takes the one end of the toilet roll, throws it in and flushes it. And then the next panel, you see the toilet roll going.
That's about right. Yep.
Anyway, what's next?
Next one, and I have an opinion on, of course, is buy a suit. My opinion on here is you don't need to know how to buy a suit. It's not a high thing. What you need to know is how to pick a tailor. Yeah. If you can know how to pick a tailor, they'll get you in the suit that will fit you correctly.
Yep.
And this is one of those, you know, you're not going to go to a barista or whatever to freaking weld your bumper back on. Yeah. Because they don't know nothing about welding. The average person doesn't know how to fit a suit right. Go find a person that actually does. So that would be my added thing to this.
Yeah. go to a men's clothing store or tailor and say, hey, I need a suit. And they'll ask you all the questions.
The smaller the suit shop.
Yeah.
Don't go to like Men's Warehouse. Go to.
Yeah. A mom and pop place if you can. In a pinch, Men's Warehouse will work.
Right.
But.
A good suit fitted correctly, you got to go to a mom pop type place where they're legit.
And they'll ask you what it's for, right? Is it a funeral? Is it for, what are you going to use it for? So they'll ask you all those questions. They'll get you what you need. They can even, you don't even have to worry about like matching shirts and ties. A good salesperson will know just by talking to you what you're going to need. And if this is your first suit, it's going to be basic stuff and all of that stuff. But yeah, the bigger part is the fitting of the suit, because off the rack, it's going to be built for anybody, but somebody who can tailor it in. And whether, right, you're an average body or, you know, been working out and you got shoulder like a V, right?
Or they massive thighs like CJ. Yeah,
they can taper it, or huge lats like CJ. They can taper, you know, but then they can cut, tailor the suit in a way that makes you look good. I mean, you can see some dudes in just some baggy old suit and it just looks terrible. Yeah, so pair of shoes, they'll hook you up. So yeah, it's not so much that you yourself need to know what to look for in a suit.
You need to know the guy that knows.
Exactly.
Yeah. What should those places usually cost, you know?
Oh, bottom end for a decent suit for something like that, I would say $750 on the bottom end for a decent. If the guy's and I'm talking, that's full jacket, pants, and most likely a shirt.
Tie shirt.
I'm talking the whole ensemble, bottom end, seven, and that's getting it tailored also.
Sometimes if you went to a Men's Warehouse and catch them on a sale or something, you could get maybe a suit for $400 or $500.
Right.
Well, I have a suit, but it don't fit no more.
Yeah, mine don't either.
I bought it when I was 175 pounds.
Yeah, I'd same here.
A bit big.
The suits I bought was 170. I weighed around 170, and now I'm 205.
No.
Hey, we about got the same exact weight gain.
Yeah.
205. I mean, 210. Excuse me.
Now, before prices went up, so.
Yeah, that's
a couple years ago, so the numbers might be off, but I would say if you're going to a tailor and having a full tailored suit, you should plan to spend around $1,200
all in for everything.
That's pants, jacket, maybe a vest if you're going with it like a three-piece, shirt, tie, socks, because they're probably going to end up selling you socks, but you'll end up dropping about $1,200
between even shoes
and then belt. That's tailoring the pants, shirts, tailoring
in the jacket. Shirt
and the jacket, yeah. Shoes are going to be more
of a finer quality suit, because I mean, you can find piece of shit suits,
right? But that'll be a decent suit, basic, actually cut to
and
you.
That might even include a couple shirts, or because lots of times if you're buying the suit, like the suit is priced higher, and then they'll offer 2-for-1 shirts or 2-for-1 ties. Yep. So then you get a little bit more versatility out of the same suit. Yeah.
But plan on $750 bottom end for a decent, but if you want a good one, I would say about $1,200.
What if I want a John Wick bulletproof suit?
How much do you think one of those would cost? Totally Kevlar,
whatever that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And fine Italian wool. Like I'm guessing. Mean,
just his suit, just
$1,200 for the jacket.
No. I would say, not counting the Kevlar, his suits would like if you were just going to do it in like real money would be anywhere between 10 and 20 grand. And then you got to add the Kevlar in. So, yeah.
I'll change. Good thing I got that in my back pocket thing.
Hey, yeah. All it takes is a gold coin.
Yeah.
One gold coin. Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. I think the girls have a couple of those in a stash of candy somewhere. So, I'll head to Rome and show up to some random hotel in Rome and drop down a chocolate coin. You know, we should almost make a parody John Wick with like Nerf guns. And then, but you go to like my house or your house, and that's the Continental, and they're all the chocolate coins. So, like, you know, when you check in, like at the counter, when he checks in and he slides a coin over, and then as you know, they're still kind of focused on the guy behind the counter as John Wick walks off. Have the guy behind the counter start eating, like peeling it, and start eating the chocolate.
Nice.
Instead of smoking cigarettes, everyone's smoking candy cigarettes.
That's it. I like it.
Or bubblegum cigars.
Ooh, I'd forgotten about those. Those things are so nasty.
Oh. Yeah. Anyway, we're getting a little off. That's an idea for patreon.com/BRNation if you want to fund, or we'll start a GoFundMe for our John Wick parody.
Yeah. All right. Next one. Swim the front stroke. Yes. Yes, I agree. This one I do agree with. Everyone, you should be
just a basic.
I was thinking, let's make it a little more basic. Don't drown.
Don't drown.
Tread water.
You should know how to tread water and float and everything. But on top of that, you should be able to at least do the front stroke. Even if it's a half-assed doggy paddle, you should be able to do the front stroke. Yeah. Maybe not get your head out of the water right. You might be one of those idiots to keep their heads up and splat. But you should have.
Yeah, yes. My dad was in the Coast Guard, and I remember as a little kid, I took swimming lessons, but I remember as a little kid, it wasn't quite a doggy paddle. It's more like a side kick,
yeah.
Little side stroke. He's like, if everything's going to shit, if you just remember this one thing, right? Just
side do stroke's this, actually a good survival.
You can keep your head above water and make it to wherever you need to make it. Cause we had a cabin on a lake and, you know, not that it was a sand pit, not that it was, but just a basic skill just to survive and in the water is important.
Well, see, but I this saying the front stroke, that's like a step up from just surviving.
That's true.
You know, you should learn how to swim and do. I know adults that they'll do like the Frogger swim. I can't think what that one's called right at the moment.
Breaststroke.
Breaststroke, no. Thank you. Yeah. They'll just breaststroke around and it's like
that's so tiring.
But you should be able to just do a front stroke. Maybe not very far, but a length of a pool. I would say at least the length of a decent size, maybe not an Olympic pool, but a decent size pool halfway across, you should be able to do the front stroke. I think everyone should know how to do that.
Just make sure your kid knows how to swim, because I know people that don't know how to swim.
Yeah.
One of my best friends doesn't know how to swim. It's kind of funny.
He still wears the floaty?
No, he doesn't get in water.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's no fun.
Well, it's not fun until we went on a lake and he put on a life jacket and then went out there and then couldn't swim back to the boat.
Well, see, there's a perfect example. You should be a step up above survivability.
All right. So I was trying to bring it back, but he was fine. He couldn't help. He was making it worse. Like, we're just drifting now because I'm fucking exhausted.
Smack him around. All right. Number 34. Man, we're going through these quick, ain't we? Shake hands. this is like a top tier thing. There are so many guys that don't know how to shake hands that it's
limp handed handshake is the worst. It's like, bro,
you know what I was reminded of earlier this week? Well, actually, it wasn't this week. It was last week. Whenever somebody grabs your hand too fast and they just grab your fingers.
I hate that. Like, they're trying to do a power play to be like, oh, I'm going to. No.
But why was this so hard? Yeah. Like, what? He did it. So I'm just like, I don't even want to hear you talk anymore.
Yep. I'm done with you. I'm with you on that one. That's annoys the living daylights out of me. Car salesman. I feel like that's
any kind of fucking salesman, honestly, if we're really talking about, because they're kind of like one of those people that like, I got to be first for everything. Like in a conversation, they got to be first for the handshake. They go as fast as possible. It's like, take your time, dude. This is, we're building trust. We're not speeding through this whole fucking thing.
Yeah. And you just lost me by grabbing my fingers.
You going to pull it too?
I mean, I'd almost respect that if that was the case. If they did, yeah,
do a little too.
Yeah, good, yeah. Solid handshake.
Yeah,
but part of it is, you know, not only the approach, but then don't linger for too long either. Like, you don't want to stay there forever, like that awkward.
Right?
Why are we still holding hands?
You know, and here's something on the opposite hand is beyond all the goofy type of handshakes. Like, I know some forearm handshakers. Okay, if you know that's a thing, like inside their little group,
yeah.
Okay, it's part of it. But don't do that to an unsuspecting person, yeah. Because they're like, it's awkward.
Just keep it simple.
Or trying to do all the hand. No.
Yeah. Unless you know the secret handshake.
Yeah. Unless you're in a group and you guys all have your little secret handshake, fine. But learn to just shake hands normally. Good, firm. One good. And that's all you need. Let go.
In, out, done. Yep.
Finger grabbers are at the, like, I just want to stomp my boot in their face. And then the hand crushers annoy the living daylights out of me, because 9 times out of 10, I can crush them back.
Yeah.
And I just.
Well, and you have, I mean, comparative to my hands, like yours are, mine seem like little kid hands compared to yours. Granted, I'm, you know.
I'm not quite ham-fisted. I'm not.
No, but.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's next?
All right. Next one on. Treat frostbite. I think this is like a tier two, like, thing.
Boiling hot water.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. This isn't one of those funny ones. This to me is more like a tier two thing. Like, if you don't live anywhere that it would ever be cold,
yeah,
then you're not gonna learn this.
Do you know how to treat frostbite, CJ?
No.
Okay. See, you live in a cold enough climate, you should know how to treat frostbite.
I know you don't put them in fucking hot water.
And that pretty much covers it.
Yeah.
Well, if you got cool water, that's the best way.
But it's like something you should read up on, kind of like one of the other things, you know. Wait, have your little first aid book. Oh, we were talking CPR. It's one of those things. Take a basic first aid class, CPR. But if you're going to go up into the mountains or something and doing some mountaineering, and it's like fall.
Yeah, or you live up in like close to the border, Canada-US border.
Yeah.
Or even places like the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Exactly.
They can Duluth, Minnesota, some of those places.
If you live in Louisiana and you don't have any.
Treating frostbite isn't a priority.
Yeah. But if you live there and you're like, hey, we're going to go hang out in Minnesota and see what those Canadians are doing up there. Yeah. Probably should learn about frostbite. Now, The next one is, I think it was more of an older day thing than a more than modern day. And that's iron your clothes.
Yes.
I know how to iron clothes, but I work really hard at buying clothes I don't have to iron.
That you don't have to iron. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really good at asking other people.
Are you?
To iron.
But do you know how to iron clothes?
Yeah, I'd just rather not.
I'm with you. I'd rather not either.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I start getting that little detail thing, and I can't not be perfect kind of deal. And then I'm there for a fucking hour.
Yeah, on a shirt. Yeah. Yeah, I feel you. Like, it's got to be, like, it's, like, you start doing it, and it's like, oh, yeah, this is cool. And then you get one little thing, and then you're like, fuck. And then
do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Or you get done with it, and you look at it, and it's still kind of just a hair wrinkly and a spot or two.
Nobody else is going to notice, but you know it's absolutely fucking there.
But you know it's there. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, weird totally. OCD comes out. It's not real OCD. It's just.
Yep.
I'm particular about shit. That's why I choose not the care for a reason.
if you try to avoid it from the beginning, you're good. Yeah. Yeah. I feel you.
And if you're in a hurry, here's one of those little tricks I found out, especially when I was staying at hotels and stuff a lot. If you need your shirt to look nice or whatever, hang it in the shower when you're taking a nice hot shower.
Yeah, in the bathroom.
In the bathroom, let it get all, and then kind of like snap it once and hang it up to like dry while you're getting ready and everything, and the wrinkles will come out.
Yeah,
you don't have to.
And then you can even rub your, like, if you slide your hand over it, that helps smooth it out.
Smooth it out. Yeah. Yeah, it's like
when I was in Colorado, I took a spray bottle, sprayed my shirt, put in the dryer for 10 minutes. We're good.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. Yeah.
But yeah. Fair point. I think, you know, that was, there's a different time where ironing really mattered, especially now with fabrics. Some of them too, right? Excuse me, there's no iron or little to no iron needed. So
yeah, just buy shirts that you don't have to iron that are wrinkle free. They're wonderful.
If that's why they made them.
Yeah, yeah. That's why that's all I own now.
But I will say it's interesting. Like, I remember, so growing up, my mom like had this iron from, had to be like the 70s or something. Like, it weighed, it wasn't like,
oh, it was probably
an actual iron.
It was probably from the 50s, like when they first got the electrical cord put on the old
irons. Yeah, maybe, because she did, in the Philippines they had a thing that was literally made out of iron that they put hot coals in.
Yeah.
But I remember going off to college, because, you know, I worked men's clothing store in college. I worked at a grocery store that you had to dress up. You had to wear a shirt and tie and dress pants for to work or for work. But so I had to iron a lot. But then once I got out, you know, I think my mom bought me an iron, but it felt like nothing. It felt like I'm pushing around a styrofoam cup.
Oh, compared to versus the old school.
My mom's iron that was like, you know, weighed like 10 pounds. Like, you're just like, ugh. But anyway,
they had that cord on it. They had the cloth braided. Around the edge with the little spring. Those things were indestructible. My first chintzy iron, it was like, holy crap. Give me the real thing.
I'm with you.
Okay. Some of these skills on this list are like top tier and all top tier, second tier. We're putting tiers to them. This next one is above top tier. This is the one thing that every man should absolutely have more so than anything. And that's practice situational awareness.
Mm.
If you don't know what that is, Google it.
Yeah. Gotta know where you're at
all times. What's going around while you're driving in the car? Don't have tunnel vision. You go to a restaurant, figure out where the exits are. run through scenarios with your family and friends about what happens if an active shooter comes in to rob the place or something else, whatever. Walking down the street, going for your favorite place in the park. There's no place you should not practice situational awareness.
Yeah, and it's just paying attention, right? What do you notice? What do you see? And maybe it's nothing. But other than to say, okay, there's people over here. There's some people over here, right? And then you can extrapolate from there. But sometimes people don't even do that much.
Yeah.
And that's something I've mentioned to the girls that's something I need to work on with them is just being aware of what's going on. Cause lots of times, you know, busy parking lot is an easy example. Okay. And lots of times, you know, I'll stop and then they kind of stop with me. It's like, no guys, keep going. And so it's just stuff like that because I'm aware of things, but then I want them to start thinking like that because once they get a little bit older and they're off,
when they go to college,
yep,
like the educated idiots here and the crosswalks where they got the stop sign of persons in the crosswalk, the educated idiots here, they got their headphones in, staring at their phone. They'll just step right into the street. Yeah. Oh, it's my right. It's my right. You have to stop for me if I'm in the crosswalk. Well, yeah, but if there's a speeding car, you might want to pay attention if you're about to get run over by that drunk idiot or something, you know. But the college over by us, there's a couple of different ones. They'll step out in front of traffic. People are constantly slamming on their brakes for these idiots that it's like the car's almost there. They don't have time to stop for you.
And you can do it in everyday situations, as dumb as this may sound to some folks listening to it. I even do that at work when I'm walking out of my office building and there's security cameras everywhere. There's a security guard out the door I just walked through, but I'm looking around and there's, you know, rarely, especially now these days, working from home's more of a thing thanks to COVID, but looking around, who's in the parking lot? Where could somebody be if they were to pop out? Like even how I park or where I park and some of those things, more just to get some reps in to be thinking of those things in a situation where I know the odds of anything like that happening are statistically zero.
Because the cameras aren't really there for your safety. They're just to tell the cops who shot you.
Yeah.
That's all.
Patrolled for your safety or monitored for your safety.
Safety. All right. Next on the list, do a proper pull up. Yeah.
I can do those now.
My arms finally allow me to do
this. Pin up so I could do those like underhand. I could do those all day long.
Long.
Like wide grip.
Pull up.
I can do now. reverse I can maybe do one. I don't know. How about you, CJ? Like, you better pull up wise can you do like behind, like reverse behind your back sort of pull ups or
that. I don't have the shoulder mobility for that, but I was trying to think of the whenever COVID went on, I was trying to do as many pull ups in a day as I could. And like in a row, the best I could get was like 18. I don't know how many I could do now.
That's pretty good though.
My forearms are so messed up from turning wrenches. It took me a long time. I think the best I ever did was like 10 or 11.
That's pretty good.
Because my forearms will just seize up. And then my problem was I kept trying to push myself to do like more pull-ups. And then they would hurt so bad that I would lose my grip, of course. And then I couldn't work out.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is hurting me. I'm going to quit. So
a lot of times when I do pull-ups now, I'll use the wrist straps And then I'll use assisted with like 80 to 90 pounds, but they're like perfect form. And
at you, that, yeah, more focused like, on the form than,
yeah, it's not like just actually doing it. It's kind of at the
bottom. You're not throwing like, yourself around.
No,
like,
no. Yeah. I pretty much look like I'm going in slow motion, but I can go like about 8-9 with those. But like I said, I'm a lot heavier and this form, like, the form's way different.
See, and that's one of those things. Weight matters. Yeah. You see these little guys doing pull-ups, and it's like, but you're a 150. You know, it's like, yeah.
Well, I remember in high school where it was no problem for me because I weighed 100 pounds.
Right.
But then I'm, you know, going next to the football dude who's, you know, 160, 170. And he's struggling to do five or whatever. Right. And I'm like,
that's why it's impressive when you see some of these bodybuilders and strongmen who do pull ups. And it's like, okay, you're strong. I'll give it to you because that's
you have
good.
To be.
I know where you're coming from.
The one that always impressed me was watching the big guys do dips.
Oh,
what the fuck? Because a lot of them can just rep it out like it's nothing. And these motherfuckers are wearing 300 pounds. Yeah. And they're putting those heavy chains on. Have you watched the videos of Branch Warren do them?
Yeah.
What those, the fuck?
I don't know. I would still rather do dips than freaking pull-ups.
Yeah, but I don't know. Dips are just like you have to – trying to get into the perfect position is so fucking hard.
It's different muscles. Yeah, it's different muscles.
Well, is that because you – I mean, for you, CJ, like you just said, like even shoulder mobility – is that
well I mean pulling behind my neck just doesn't feel good, but no, with the chest is just like you're either falling forward or you're falling back and you can't
I see what you're saying,
like perfectly balanced
like that, right? Yeah, though. Okay,
all right, next on the list. What,
go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Build a shelter in a survival like a survival scenario. You know, like a simple lean-to,
or
are we talking about with certain tools or just in general?
Just in general. I think
just in general.
Okay. Something say you had a tarp, you know, a 12x12 tarp. You make a lean-to, or I would think a simple, you know.
I mean, miserable, but yeah, I don't know. I can do it.
Just simple shelters.
Yeah.
When you said that's what I was thinking of. Nothing fancy.
Yeah. You know,
if you were stuck somewhere or something or got lost and needed.
We used to build stuff out of like trees and wood and they all sucked. Why? Because we didn't spend enough time on them. And we most of the time wouldn't use the right type of trees for it. You know, it's like how many people know that, you know, are you using rushes or pine boughs or something else to actually shed water, not just. Oh, let's layer sticks. Maybe you need to put sticks and leaves. Well, what if you don't live in a leafy or that's why I would say a simple shelter with a tarp or even a blanket. You can make a simple shelter that'll keep the rain off you with a nice big wool blanket. It's not the greatest, but it'll shed some rain or keep the sun the
basically. Yeah, and that combined with, I think, one of the skills we talked about in the last one was starting just being able to start a fire. So between those two, you should be good for.
Well, and you remember in science class, they'd have you make like that reflector or whatever, and they'd put the candle and then they show how to heat. You can take a wool blanket, set up a simple lean-to, put a little bit of fire there, and it increases the heat because it's reflecting off the blanket.
Yep.
Instead of just dissipating straight up, and simple things. Get an old Boy Scout book. The older the better. Old Boy Scout manual or some other stuff. The next one, you should probably have some ideas on, but most of us are probably too lazy to grow your own food. I know I'm too lazy to grow my own food.
Yeah.
But I've done it. I've helped my boy. We grew pumpkins and cucumbers and did some corn and stuff. Planted some seeds and watered it. The worst part is freaking weeding gardens. Screw it. I'm not weeding a garden. But
this is why I live close to my dad. He has his own garden.
Yeah. We have a big family like one of my aunts. Yeah, my aunt's house, they converted. Basically, she's got a huge backyard and it's tiered. So there's house, backyard, and then there's still backyard.
Yard.
And that further backyard, they turned into one huge garden.
See, but we all know how to do it. So yeah, we know how to grow our own food. Have to do it? No, but you should have some ideas.
We have planned on doing our own little one because there's only so many vegetables that we'll actually eat. We might do like jalapenos and green beans, kind of something like that.
Tomatoes for salsa. Yeah.
No.
Your mileage may vary.
Everybody has fucking tomatoes.
Yeah.
That is one thing that
it's definitely every not a scarce resource.
Everybody has tomatoes. Every garden has tomatoes. We will be the only ones because most tomato things are banned from my fucking house.
Yeah. But he'll have all kinds of different peppers.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure I will.
I like
habaneros.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Wow. Next one is cook eggs. Yeah. Every guy should know how to cook eggs.
If you can do them over easy, too.
Yeah.
See, I'm a scrambler. I always scramble eggs.
It depends for me.
Yeah. But I think even cooking, you should at least be able to cook them away.
Away, yeah.
But I think
that's it.
Wait, hold up. If you can't scramble the eggs, you should just never touch anything that has to do with food.
I agree. Let's see. What is it when you cook it on one side and just flip it, but the yolk stole?
Over medium.
Yeah, I can kind of do that. If I'm really paying attention, I can pull that one off.
I do that a lot for like if I'm putting it on top of my meat and rice, because then I like to have the runniness, the mix in
with the yolk just enough. There's something to be said for that yolk with rice and meat.
It makes it better, because if you scramble it, it kind of, I don't know, it gets a little bit dry.
Well, when I say I'm doing it like over meat, that's when I'm like throwing it on a burger or something.
Yeah.
I'm throwing it on meat. Same thing. I'll do it occasionally. But if I'm cooking up six eggs, I just scramble them.
You're not going to do them one by one, which you could. We actually have a pan, like one of those copper pans that's just for one egg. It's fucking perfect. It's fucking perfect. Because it like the yolk can't go anywhere.
It's right there. Yeah. But yeah, it's such a good source of protein. You know, 4-6 eggs, you're good. So yeah, you should learn to at least scramble whatever you should. But yeah, learn how to cook eggs.
Cook eggs. Let's see. It's getting late, but we'll knock a couple more. Make small talk. Yeah,
we're talking about good small talk or just small talk.
Good small talk.
Okay.
There's a lot of people that can't even have a conversation with another person.
I ran into somebody like that. I had to train a new guy on Monday. He was the type of person that would talk at you, not to you.
Yeah.
I was over it quite instantly. Well, because my first interaction with Sky has worked here for, this is like his second week. And most of the new people I don't talk to until I have to, because we've been going through people. I'm like, I'm not even going to waste my time. So I get to train the guy on the last day and I come up to him like, here's the ones we got for today. He's like, well, you better fucking load them. Like, this is not starting well, pal. Like I dropped it on the ground. I'm like, all right, get to it, bud. But the whole day, like he was talking at me. He's like one of those people that you like tell you something about himself, but then he wouldn't ask you.
Right.
So I'm like, I would just sit there and be like, yep.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's talking at, that's not making conversation.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and we've talked about this before on at least one other podcast, maybe more. If you're a guy who's trying to date or meet girls, but you have approach anxiety, just go out and talk to people. Sometimes it's just, you just need to be social, start out being social, just talking to people gets you comfortable talking to people, and then makes it potentially easier to approach. girls, whether at the store or the bar or whatever, rather than dating apps and all those sorts of things. I mean, sure, you could do the dating app route, but,
you know, if they weren't so politically correct, they would just say fuck apps.
Right.
Because it's not really that much dating.
Percent. Absolutely.
Yeah. I just was thinking about that the other day. All right. We'll do one more. This one. Identify poisonous and edible plants. I have a small issue with this one. Is there so many of them on both sides of that equation? Just go buy a book. If you're going to go out and about, but just
and I maybe know some of the common, well, yeah, but maybe know some of the common, at least poisonous ones. Like I'm thinking stinging nettles, poison ivy, poison oak. Those are easy
ones.
These are three. Let it be.
But it's talking about edible plants.
Yeah.
Like if you see some berries along the trail or something, don't eat them. You know,
what about these nuts?
Yeah, just don't, you know, it's like take a book, get out there, truly identify the things, maybe talk to the local rangers or somebody and ask. It's good to know, but don't just go out there and be like, oh, we're going to try and figure out which berries are berries. Basically, if they're red, they're going to make you sick.
Lesser raspberries.
Exactly.
Or strawberries or cherries.
Well, I know what you're saying. It's like red, like that bright red. You're talking about
the vibrant ones.
Yeah, the vibrant red ones when you go out in the hike in the woods where the ones won't normally find all the other berries we're talking. Yeah, those bright red berries. I forget how many people eat those things. And then
or even mushrooms. Yeah. Like there's morels and then there's a couple others, and then there's shit that will kill you.
Yeah.
Wait, what are those bright berries? I see them all the time. I always forget what they're fucking called.
Oh, there's a few different ones out there.
They're usually on like a little bush.
Yeah. I'd have to look it up myself. I know what
you're talking about.
But that's why I have
that shit.
I have a book over here that I can take with me that can like tell me that stuff. And the other clue, which I still wouldn't suggest doing this, is if other animals are eating them, you might be able to get away with it. A big, big might. However, if the animals aren't eating it,
there's probably a reason why. Yeah,
you shouldn't either.
Yeah.
Or you could just buy the SAS Survival Handbook.
There you go.
I'll tell you just about every fucking thing.
There you go.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, I like the frostbite thing. It's one of those things. If you're in a place or you're going to be going to a place where like you may want to, obviously having some reference with you is always best, because then, you know, it's a good, you have the information right there. But, you know, maybe learn some of the more common things that may be problematic. You know, stinging nettles is probably a big one across the entire United States, but and that sucks. But then, you know, there's other things that you can eat.
Comes back down to situational awareness.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's definitely top tier.
Yep, that's top.
So didn't quite make it to 50 this round, but no. We'll keep checking away at the top 100.
Yep. There were some good ones though. It's sprung some lively conversation. We got CJ laughing from his earlier disappointments. So we're doing good.
That.
No problem. See, we're all doing better.
It's the value-added service that the BR podcast provides.
Right. And now Jimmy's going to go make himself a podcast drink. To recover from talking to you and me.
Somebody mentioned an espresso martini. That sounds really good right now. I had one at a place. There's a sushi place here that serves them up, and they're fantastic.
Now, does that have coffee in it?
Yep. So I probably won't have one of those.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you're going to have one of those right before you go to bed.
Nope. I need to sleep and get up and do legs in the morning. So
I did them yesterday, legs. And holy fuck, I haven't done it for a month and a half.
That sucked.
Yeah. It's not fun.
Sucks when you have to sit down or get up to poop.
No, stairs.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to get in and out of the truck. The first time I got out of my truck today, I
you almost fell
I did. Your ass. I about that's fell the face worst. First. Not ass, yeah, face that's the first.
Worst. When you're getting out and it's like your feet, your legs are just totally going to give out on you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the worst.
CJ, just a reminder, 3 points of contact at all times.
I make my own fucking rules.
That's why there's safety handles, those shit handles to get in and out. Yep.
I don't do that. I do them like stairs, not how you're supposed to. I've always done it. I'm just waiting till the time that I do face planet, then I'll probably switch.
Yeah, well, maybe it's time to change it up.
Yep,
that's fair.
How do you know you've done a great leg day? You face plant the next.
Getting out of the truck. All right. Words of wisdom by CJ.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. I hope it's given you something to think about in your own quest to develop a barbarian mindset. Because it's with this mindset that you'll find the skills, strength, attitude, will, and endurance to see things through and live within the civilization and still be a barbarian. We appreciate your feedback. We especially appreciate those who have been supporting the podcast. That's the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast on our website, on Anchor FM, and on Spotify. You can find the show notes on the blog or anchor.fm/barbarianrhetoric. If the podcast has been helpful to you, please let us know. You can do this by checking into the Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars, and leaving us a short review. This will help us get our message out in front of many more people. You can also talk to us on social media and let us know what you are thinking about or how this has helped you. On Twitter, I am at Steel Janz. That's STEELJANZ. And I'm also on Instagram at Barbarian Rhetoric. There's also a couple other things you need to check out. One is the Barbarian Rhetoric blog. And of course, our newsletter. There's a pop-up which you'll see as soon as you land on the blog. Thanks for listening. And always remember to be a barbarian in a civilized world.
An apex predator.
Civilized world.